for WIP HD1 Philadelphia.
It's time for a football fix! Hunt, hunt!
With Mike and Ike on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's 11 o'clock. Football Fix is presented by our friends at ShopRite. ShopRite from home can make your life easier. Order your groceries online at ShopRite.com. ShopRite, proud partner of the Phillies. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Swartz Culleton guest line from Comcast Sportsnet Mid-Atlantic, former Philadelphia Eagle, Washington Redskin, New York Giant, our friend Brian Mitchell. B. Mitch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. You can leave that last team off.
See? Every time, man.
Okay, all right, done.
What's up, big bro?
And my apologies. All right, never happened again.
Man? How y'all doing?
We're doing great. We're wondering, I guess, first things first, your overview of the draft in the NFC East, if you will, and who made out best.
One thing about the draft, I'm always the one that I feel you got to wait 2 or 3 years to figure out who made out best. You know, a lot of people went and got who they want. The Eagles got Carson Wentz, the guy that they wanted to get. The Skins, Suwak Cravens is the guy that they really were going after. Then they get Doxson. They got him at receiver. They're happy about that. Ezekiel Elliott, you cannot be upset what happened with him. The Giants did a great job. So I think on paper, the NFC East did a good job. We'll find out in 2 or 3 years exactly what they really did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, man. Turn that microphone on. I tell you, brother, I thought the Redskins had a pretty good draft, man. I thought they hit on some guys. Josh Doxson in that first round. I think he's a underrated wide receiver when you look at it from a national standpoint, where Corey Coleman and Laquan Treadwell got all of the talk. And this kid, I think, may be the best of that bunch. Then you get Kendall Fuller, man. You get Kendall Fuller in the third round. I thought this kid was a late first, mid-second round type of a guy. That's a nice pick there, right?
Yeah, he definitely is. I think what they did this year, one thing that Scott McLuhan, he has that old school mentality. I think if you think back to when Bobby Bethel was running the Washington Redskins, Bobby would go and get guys that were injured. And not necessarily injured, but guys who were coming off of injuries and things like that that may have been projected at a higher round, but they dropped down to a lower round. And then he gets them. And when they get healthy, he got an unbelievable player. And I think he did that a lot. You know, Fuller was one of those guys. And I think you look at the running back, Walker.
Yeah, Keith Marshall.
Marshall is 4-3-1. Only person on the team faster than him is Deshaun Jackson. So if you can get him healthy and doing the things that he's capable of doing, I think they had a great draft. But you still got to wait to see what happens, what transpires once you get him some ball.
Yeah, and then you got the Temple product, Matt Ioannidis. Down there in the fifth round. What is he going to play? A little D-tackle, I'm assuming, right? Or, hold on, the Redskins run a 3-4 or 4-3?
Well, they run a combination. And okay. I talked to Joe Barry yesterday, and he was saying that, you know, this kid can play some nose guard for him. He can play that big D-tackle. So I think that they don't know exactly where he's going to play, but they're trying to figure it out. They signed a few people, Ziggy Hood in all seasons. You know, they got him. They got people on defensive line. They added people a lot of specialty position. I think the team got better. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the whole thing about it.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Brian Mitchell on Swartz Culleton guest line, and let's get to the NFC East, and you're looking at the division. It was very lackluster, to put it mildly, last year. Washington won with a 9-7 record. Then you got the Eagles at 7-9, Giants 6-10, and Cowboys 4-12. So when you look at it right now, do you have any reason to believe it'll be shaken up any differently this year?
It always does. You know, if you look at this, only time someone in the last, I think, 15 years have been consecutive NFC East champions has been the Eagles. You know, you look back to that, other than that, a team wins 1 year, then last place the next year. I don't think the Skins will be in last place. I'm looking at Dallas, and everything rides on what Tony Romo does. Based on what I see, he had two injuries on that clavicle. I think he may not be making the whole season. And if he gets injured, I don't care if they have Ezekiel Elliott or whoever else. They don't have a quarterback good enough to do the things that Tony does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I tell you, B, I know no one has repeated as division champions here in a long time. I think it was like 03, 04 the last time somebody repeated as NFC East champions. But I'm saying, as we sit here right now, I got to put your Redskins in the driver's seat as the favorite in this division, just because of the continuity they have coming back with the coaches and their best players. You didn't lose anyone significant. You lost Alfred Morris, but I think he was on a decline anyway, and I like Matt Jones, and I like this kid you guys just got out of Georgia. But the big question will be Kirk Cousins. Can Kirk Cousins repeat what he did last year? What's your feelings on that down there?
I really like Kirk. Now, the thing about Kirk, he's not that guy who thinks he has to go out there and do everything. He understands that he has to have his teammates to help him out. They just locked up Jordan Reed today, I think 5 years, $50 million.
Yep.
So that's the main weapon. If he has Jordan Reed, he has an opportunity to get it done. If Matt Jones make that step and stop fumbling the football, he'll be good. But I think ultimately, that one guy, he's the most important guy I feel on the team. Jordan Reed was great. Josh Norman is great. But Junior Gallette, he's so disruptive. He's very close to what Von Miller is. And if they could get somebody pass rushing like that, the NFC East is in a world of trouble because that dude he's a beast, man.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you who else is disruptive. That's Sam Bradford. Very disruptive.
Hey, did y'all eat one little Sam Bradford yet? I heard about the new sandwich in Philly.
Oh, yeah.
No one's eating that sandwich.
Oh, yeah, I had it. I had it. Yeah. Well, it was really good. I had it yesterday, B. Mitch. Angelo had it in studio. And it's made with spineless chicken. It's made with pulled pork. It's made, all this. It's served on a Bradford jersey, I believe. I'm not even kidding. But anyway, go ahead.
It's unbelievable to me. These guys come from these big universities. They get drafted first round, and they're basically pansies. They want somebody to give them something. I came from Southwest Louisiana, was told I wasn't going to make it. I want to battle anybody out there. And he's afraid to have competition? That doesn't make much sense to me whatsoever. I don't understand these athletes today.
Well, did he just overplay his hand? I mean, I can't believe he's got fear. The guy took a beating last year. He's played in the NFL now more or less for six seasons or so. He's been around. I'm just surprised.
He's been around sitting up waiting to get on the field. But ultimately, if they drafted Desmond Howell when I was there, and they drafted Ricky Irvin, they kept drafting people over and over again. I wasn't afraid of whoever they brought in. You start saying, I want to be traded. When you want to be traded, you don't want to have competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm wondering whether or not he wants to be traded because he feels, rightly or wrongly, he feels duped. He feels like, this is not what they told me was going to happen. They let me believe I'd have a shot.
When you don't have a track record of being proven, of doing something year after year after year after year, you can't sit up here and feel like you've been duped. You have to prove himself. Yeah, he got drafted in the first round, got paid a lot of money, just like Arvin Griffin III. What he did in 2012 means absolutely nothing today.
Mm-hmm.
What Sam Bradford did to get drafted means nothing because he has not been totally consistent for the longevity of his career to make people really believe he is that guy.
Mm-hmm. So if you're the Eagles, if you're Howie Roseman or you're Sam Bradford's teammates, do you swallow anything and kind of extend an olive branch, or you just sit tight and say whatever he wants to do, man, we'll be fine without him?
I'm from the old school. You answer that question for me.
Yep. That's what I figured.
You asked the wrong guy. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Well, hey, Ike was schooling me on it before about what they, man. There's no I love yous in the locker room, man.
Yeah.
Guy comes back from being away, he gets a punch in the shoulder.
They want guys who they feel will run through a wall to do anything to help them win. Not a guy that's going to, I want to go somewhere else because you're not handing me the starting job. Most guys are fighting for their lives. Most guys are fighting just to survive and have any kind of, they're not going to be making the money. He's guaranteed a 2-year, $30-something million deal. They offered him wherever he was.
Well, he's not guaranteed the years, but he's guaranteed the money.
He's guaranteed $22 million.
Right.
Yeah.
He's guaranteed $22 million. Most of those guys on their team in the locker room that are fighting are not going to make $22 million in their career.
Yep. Yeah.
So they don't care. They're not going to sit up there and feel sorry for Sam Bradford.
Right.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's an amazing situation here. But you know what? Maybe when they start OTAs, he comes back and everything's fine.
Uh-huh.
But at this point, doesn't look like it.
It doesn't look good right now.
Nope.
Well, Lemonhead, I love blocking for this dude when we played together. And listen, I love competing against him because you knew it weren't many returners that made you bring your A game. Most of these returners don't want to be hit. They getting down.
Boy, contact.
B Mitch was out there.
Game.
Yeah, he's out there looking for contact. And then when he gives it to you, he's letting you know he gave it to you out there on the field. So, and I knew he was from the old school. I was a young pup coming in. I enjoyed competing against this guy. And when we got him in 2000, you're talking about a personality change in our locker room and on our team. You know, we brought he and John Runyon in here. John Runyon brought that physicality to our offense and that offensive line. And then B. Mitch came in here with his style of play and his personality and his excellence as a returner. You know, he changed our mentality on our special teams unit as well. So when I took a lot of my cues from this guy and the way that he played out there. And before we send you off, B, I wanted to take you back a little bit and play something for you.
Here is the kickoff by Gramatica, high and not too deep. Taken by Mitchell at the 6, out across the 10, 15, 20. He's got a lane at the 25, 30. Cuts back at the 40. Midfield, 45, 40, 35, 30. Brian Mitchell is going coast to coast for a touchdown. A 94 kickoff return, 94-yard kickoff return by Brian Mitchell. The 12th return touchdown of his career, which brings him even once again with Eric Metcalf.
Wow.
How about that?
I remember those days, man. I want to go back and play right now.
B. Mitchell tell you, I was 5 yards right behind him running in the end zone with my hands up I had the football all the time.
Definitely. Always, man. It was always a team effort. That's the whole thing about it. We knew it took everybody to get it done. So
love it, man.
It was not just me. It was the guys that were giving the blocks.
Redskin Hall of Famer. He's in the Ring of Honor. Should be in the Hall of Fame. When they start giving the respect to return men that they should, this man should be in there. I believe he's second in total yards or third in total yards from scrimmage in the history of the game.
Still second
behind Jerry Rice. Behind Jerry Rice in the history of the game.
That's incredible. That's
in the history of the game. Brian Mitchell, my former teammate. Hey, B, we appreciate it, brother. Love you, man.
Thanks, Brian.
Anytime, man. Y'all take care.
Talk to you soon. Thanks so much. That's Brian Mitchell on the Swartz Culleton guest line. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Swartz Culleton at 800-JUSTICE. I love talking to Brian Mitchell. His insight, his fun for the game. And I've never met I don't know how many former Eagles became Division foes. Mm-hmm.